Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, these two holy days bookend our Lenten season. From the cross marked upon your forehead to the cross of Christ, you have our Lenten season. If you were in church this past Wednesday, you heard the echo of those words first spoken in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, ashes to ashes, dust to dust you shall return. When Adam fell into sin, he not only put himself under condemnation and plunged into death, but he brought all of humanity, including you, including me, with him. That is, Adam's destiny is death. Because your life is bound up with his, you are walking the trail he blazed. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. You see, sin is never static. There is never a sitting still, never a resting place. You either are growing in sin or you are diminishing sin in your life. And it has a life all of its own. We see this in Genesis as Eve is seduced into unbelief by the serpent, and Adam, her husband and head, who should have been her guardian, is drawn in with her to defy their Creator's word. He too ate of the tree of which God had warned him that in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The curse did descend from Adam and Eve to their children. Cain's slaughter of Abel, this is evidence of the downward spiral. The scriptures testify that sin came into the world through this one man, Adam. And because of his trespass, death reigned through him. But our problem is more than mortality. It is not simply that we live out our years and then perish. If it were only a matter of dying was just a part of nature, just another turn in the inevitable cycle of life, then perhaps we could meet death with calm composure. But death is not natural. Despite what you're going to hear in this world, death is not natural. God did not create human beings to die, but to live with God. Death is a result of sin. And where there is sin, there is God's wrath, his righteous opposition to our rebellion. The soul that sins shall die is a curse that embraces the whole earth. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Such a death is not simply the last event of our biological life. It is a shadow that casts itself over every step of the journey from the cradle to the grave. Sin is devastating. Its corruption is ever on the move. It creeps, it enslaves, it ensnares Adam and all of his naturally born children in a prison from which there is no inmate that may escape. We confess it in the liturgy that we are by nature sinful and unclean. Holy Scriptures confess, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me." From our birth, we lack true fear of God, and neither trust Him nor love Him. There is more than a tendency towards sin that can be overcome by a decision of the will or a persistence practicing of some spiritual disciplines. The heart itself is desperately evil, above wicked, above all things, says the prophet Jeremiah. And Jesus himself declares that the heart is a veritable cesspool out of which bubbles hatred, lies, adultery, and other toxic symptoms of our inherited sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed because we are sinners. That is our death-bound destiny received from Adam. God's image given in creation is shattered, and we not only live in a dark world, but also with the darkness of our souls, so dark that we could never find our way back to our Father's house. But Christ, the second Adam, Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and shame and woe. We're all too familiar with Adam's destiny. He was born and he died. It's not only a biblical refrain, it is the truth about each of us. The Apostle Paul testifies to another destiny, not of trespass, wrath, and death, but of righteousness, grace, and life. It is the destiny of the one man, Christ Jesus. Remember how the Apostle put it in our text? But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of that grace by the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. This Jesus is the second Adam. But he is so very different from the first Adam. The contrast between these two men cannot be more pronounced. Adam stands at the head of humanity, turned against God and turned in on himself. United Adam, we share his fate, were it not for the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. He is the one who purchased and won all of Adam's children, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Indeed, the gift is not like the trespass, for in Christ there is grace upon grace and blessings upon blessings. In Christ there is an abundance of mercy which covers our trespasses. In Adam, there is condemnation aplenty. In Christ, there is no condemnation, for his blood cleanses us from all our sins. Death asserted its lordship over Adam and all who are in him. Adam's destiny was death. But in Christ, you have another destiny, righteousness, and resurrection to life everlasting. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.